We thank you for this time that you have given us, Father. We pray that you will unveil your sanctuary over us, Father, through the blood of Jesus, Father. That you will unveil, O Lord, your presence within our hearts and amongst us, Father. That we will come alive to the work of your Holy Spirit, Father. That we will come alive to the name of Jesus, Father. That we will come alive to your will and your purpose, Father. That your word will be written into our hearts. That your word will come alive in us, O God, to form a living witness, Father. A living witness that is of your fullness, O God. A living witness that is dedicated to the glory of your name. A living witness that hears your voice, O God. A living witness that responds, O God, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. A living witness that proclaims the name of Jesus, Father. A living witness that discovers, O God, the realities of who you are, Father. A living witness that is alive to all that you are doing. Father, even as we speak about you, that witness that you have given us, Father, we pray for that witness to grow in us, Father. For that witness to be meticulously fashioned in each one of us according to your perfect will, Father. For it is declared in your word, Father, that each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know, O God, that that expression of being fearfully and wonderfully made is meant to be written and fashioned and formed into the tablets of our heart, Father. It is meant to come alive from the witness that you give us, Father. The witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit, Father. The witness that you have given us so that we can indeed abide in you, so that we can indeed walk by your Spirit, so that we can be alive to the name of Jesus, so that we can do all things in word and in deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanksgiving to you, Father. Giving thanks to you, Father, all of the time. With gratitude in our hearts for your grace and your mercy unveiled. With gratitude, Father, for all that you have given us. With gratitude, O God, as we come to realize how great your love is, Father. Father, it is your purpose to cause us to know you. It is your purpose to unveil, O Lord, your name into our hearts. And we pray for those purposes to be made manifest through each one of these teachings, Father. We pray, O God, that these teachings, O Lord, will bless your church, Father. That your children, O God, will be awakened to the voice of the Holy Spirit, Father. That they will be awakened to the awesomeness of the richness of the name of Jesus, Father. That they will come alive to your will, Father. So that each one of us will fulfill the great purpose that you have, Father. That each one of us will come to realize the awesome destiny that you have got for us, Father. Not a destiny that is here today or tomorrow, Father, but a destiny that begins and grows, O God, forever, Father. A destiny unveiled in the stature of your name. And a destiny written and fashioned by your living word, Father. Release your word into our hearts, Father. Let that word come forth meaningfully according to your will and to your purpose. According to your calling upon each one of our lives. According to your purposes for each one of us. According to all that you mean to bring forth from each one of us. Father, bless us with your word, and let your word bring into us, O Lord, the realities of your name. Let every aspect of your name opened by your word become a living sanctuary in which, O God, we live, move, and have our being, Father. Because it is your purpose, O God, that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. These are sanctuaries, O God, that are described in your name. Father, unveil these sanctuaries into us and make these sanctuaries alive to the witness of our heart so that we may abide in you all of the time, so that we may come to understand, O God, your ways and the realities of your love, Father. We bless you and thank you for this time, Father. And we pray that this time will be a blessing, that all that you put into us today, Father, will come alive in us, it will grow in us, it will blossom in us, Father. It will find expression, O God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will always glorify you, Father, by your Spirit, Father. We pray that everything that you bring alive into us, Father, will be of your Spirit. It will be in accordance to the name of Jesus, so that your name will always be glorified, Father. Teach us, Father, your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are looking at a series on the inward witness. And we are in the process of defining that inward witness. And in defining that inward witness, we need to come to appreciate how much God has blessed us, how much God means to bring forth in each one of our lives. We need to appreciate the love of God. We need to appreciate His awesome purposes. We need to come alive to what He means to bring forth in us. The Word of God says that we are each fearfully and wonderfully made. We need to come alive to that reality. Because it is only when we come to understand the love of God and how meticulously that love is meant to be unveiled in us and how great is that depth of that love, only then will we come to see the heart of the Father. Only then will we come to understand how great the Lord our God is. We have declared that the name of God is the purpose of God's word, to unveil the name of God, to make Him known to us, to make Him alive to us. And we have said that everything that God makes alive through His word that is according to His name comes to be established within us as an inward witness. We have said that that inward witness arises from the tablets of our heart. It is an inward witness that comes alive through the word of God. We have said that the word of God is written into our hearts by the finger of God. That what is fashioned into us is written by the finger of God. That it represents the workmanship of God Himself. And that is an awesome reality. And we have said that we are each a letter of Christ. And we have said that as letters of Christ, we are called forth to realize a witness that God has given us in His fullness. Let's put together a few verses and then we will take the revelation into its depth. Let's begin by looking at Exodus chapter 25 verse 16. We have done these verses before, but let's just lay the groundwork so that we can understand what we are saying here. God is speaking to Moses and He said, this is what you shall do. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. So God has always had that purpose of giving us a testimony. He wants to give us a testimony. Verse 21, and you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. The testimony which I shall give to you. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. And when He had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, He gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. And this is a very important picture for us to catch here, because the tablets of the testimony were given to Moses and they were entirely written by the finger of God. Exodus 32, verse 15 and verse 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work. And the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. Very important here. The tablets were God's work. And we must always remember this. The secret to growth in Christian life is to allow God to work in us. Is to allow God to work in us and not to get in His way. And the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. The writing is engraved. That is one of the reasons why we repeat a certain structure of verses always, so that it is laid forth by the Spirit. Because that which is laid forth by the Holy Spirit into us will remain in us forever. It will continuously grow in us forever. We need to understand that we are meant to be the workmanship of God. Our hearts are meant to be written upon by the finger of God. And we must catch this picture. It is not a question of our intellect. It's a question of God writing and revealing His awesome word into our hearts. All right, let's take this and let's come to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to read only certain parts of this verse. It says, you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If you have a New King James Version, you will notice that the heart is of flesh, right? The heart is of flesh, all right? So we need to understand that God writes upon human hearts of flesh. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh, you have no life in you. So we get the picture. where the flesh comes from. All right? That's why the flesh is the workmanship of God. Are you with me? It is something that is of Him. It is not something that is humanly generated. It is written upon by the finger of God. So we are talking about something awesome, all right? If you can catch the picture of Moses being on the temple, on Mount Sinai, and how awesomely God prepared the revelation by which he would receive those two tablets, you can understand how great is the revelation that it is happening inside of us now. All right? It may not come with thunder and lightning, but it is more than what we saw on Mount Sinai. Because this reality will grow to bring you into God's presence, all right? So we need to catch the picture that what God wants to bring forth into our hearts is something very awesome, all right? Okay, let's read verse 4, 5 and 6. God has a purpose for all this. And it says, and such confidence we have through Christ towards God. It's very important that we understand that God writes into our heart to bring into us a confidence. You can call it a confidence, you can call it an evidence, you can call it an assurance, whatever you want is something that God brings into you. And the assurance, the confidence, the evidence is of Him, right? And it's brought into us through Christ, all right? Through Christ, all right? Why is it so? Verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves, the last line there says our adequacy is from God. To make us adequate from God. And this is again the picture we must catch. God must prepare us for His purposes. Because His purposes are far beyond our understandings. Far beyond our individual talents and our intellects. So it says here, our adequacy is from God. And this is what we must understand. The witness inside of you that is being written and fashioned by the finger of God is entirely the workmanship of God, and the reason it is so that your adequacy is always from God. That you will always place Him as the life. That's why Jesus said, I am the life. And we must catch that picture. He must be the life. And that's the purpose for God bringing forth the witness inside of us. So that we will find God as the be-all and end-all of our lives. All right? And there's a reason for this reality being established within us. Verse 6 says, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Where is this new covenant? It is written into you. Alright? And the purpose is so that you can be servants of this new covenant. That you can take that covenant, that reality in which you see God and understand God and function by God and go forth and serve Him and do all things in His will. So we need to understand this. Now this is where every ministry anointing comes from. This is where every reality of being in ministry comes from. Right? We are called to be prophets, priests and kings. We are called to be prophets, priests and kings. Right? That is our eternal calling. Right? That's the eternal calling that God fashions into our heart. It comes alive in the reality of His love. Alright? We will do teachings on that in the future. But right now, we need to understand that there is a purpose. We are called to serve God. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, being the Word of God being written into us is the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? We have said that the finger of God is an expression of the work of the Holy Spirit. Alright? And the purpose is very simple, so that you will come alive to the Holy Spirit, so that you will come alive to the Holy Spirit and be able to function by Him. Alright? And everything that we see here is being built into us, alright? It is being continually built into us. And you need to catch this awesome picture, that you are being continuously built forever and ever and ever. Alright? And that is an awesome reality. That's why the sons of men can become sons of God. All right. It is because of this awesome process of continual building. All right. And this building is entirely in Christ Jesus. We must catch this picture. All right. All right. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Alright? We just read about servants of the new covenant. Now we are reading and saying that these are the good works that God has ordained, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I love that word, created, because no human being can create. Alright? No human being can create. We are created in Christ Jesus, and the creation is the workmanship of God. It's exciting. It's exciting because we are looking at something that is of the stature of God being brought alive into us. Right? And the purpose is so that we can walk into the good works that God has predestined from long ago. So we have a purpose. Right? And the purpose is part of our covenant. Alright? The covenant is written into us. Alright? The covenant is written into us. God describes His word into us according to His peculiar purpose in each one of our lives. He writes that word into us and He brings forth a purpose through that word. He describes that purpose into us, and He then prepares us so that we can walk into that purpose. And in that purpose that He unfolds, He is our adequacy. Can you catch this? He prepares us. It is entirely a supernatural work. This is what we must understand. It is a supernatural work. It is a creative work. It is His workmanship. So what must we do? We must receive. Right? We must receive what God is bringing forth into our lives. We must learn how to see things according to how it is written in God's Word. You've got to see things and understand the realities that God is opening through His Word. The Word must find meaning inside of us, and in that Word that God brings alive into us, He is describing something that is of His own name, right? He's going to do something, and He wants you and me to understand this. Right? That's why He told Moses, I will give you the testimony. Alright? I will give you the testimony. Right? And after that He said, I will meet with you, and I will then tell you what you shall do. Correct? So, what was figuratively represented in the Old Testament is brought alive in a dynamic, everyday reality into your life and my life. And that's the picture we need to understand. Now this will happen in our lives as long as we set our hope on God, right? We already have talked about that, right? He who has this hope anchors himself behind the veil, right? He who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. So we are talking about a realm of communion that just opens by hope. And that hope is defined in His Word, alright? So we have set this background so that we understand how great is God's purpose, and that this purpose is a supernatural purpose, and He means to bring forth this purpose. It will take place in your life. You just have to see it coming and take hold of it. You need to just see and receive what God is revealing to you. Alright? It's got nothing to do with how old you are or where you are starting, because we are talking about something that is here forever. Alright? Whether you are here on earth or you are translated into heaven, it makes no difference. The same purpose will continue forever. Okay? Alright. So let's go to the inward witness. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The witness automatically comes alive in you. The day you were born again, a witness came alive in you. You knew that Jesus Christ was true. You knew that He made a difference. You knew that He was the life. Something came alive in you and me, and that made the difference. A witness came alive in us. Before that, we had no time for all these things. But suddenly something came alive in us. A witness came alive in us. That witness was a supernatural awakening. Right? The prophet Ezekiel describes that witness coming alive in us as a new spirit and a new heart. Okay? Jesus calls it being born again. When we are born again, the witness comes inside of us. Alright? And we are able to see the kingdom of God. Something came alive in us. A witness was birthed in us, and against the backdrop of that witness, we can suddenly begin to understand the things of God's kingdom. The things, right, that are appraised spiritually. Something opened inside of us. That is the witness. So every Christian has experienced that witness, right? The moment he was born again, that witness came alive in his heart. Okay? Now we want to develop that witness, the understanding of that witness, so that you come to realize that that witness has an awesome purpose. Alright? Okay. That witness has an awesome purpose, and that witness is very carefully nurtured. Look at verse 6. It says here, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ." Now water and blood are part of the witness. Verse 8 tells us, "For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood." And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water and the blood, and these three agree as one. So there are three parts to the witness, the blood, the water and the Spirit. Alright? But go back to verse 6. And you see that the witness relates to a person. The witness is described in a living person. It is not a perception or just a mere understanding or a mere revelation. It comes to us as a person. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. We're talking about a living person. He has a name. That name is Jesus. And that name identifies him. Right? That name identifies him. That name is Jesus. And he is the Christ, the Anointed One. And the reality of Jesus Christ comes to you by water and blood. Comes to you by water and blood. And it's identifying a person. You must understand this. Your inward witness must always, always, always bear testimony of Jesus. Your inward witness must be nurtured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is going to go off somewhere else. Alright? Before you can talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, the witness inside of you must be the witness that talks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is the purpose and the be-all and the end-all of the witness inside of you, you will walk by the Spirit wonderfully and exceptionally well. Alright? It will begin to come forth into you naturally. To walk by the Spirit is very natural. Right? It is not some airy-fairy mumbo-jumbo. Alright? It is something that is entirely defined in the blood and the water. Alright? It is entirely defined in the blood and the water. Where does the blood and the water come from? Let's turn to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, let's read from verse 30. "When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Alright? He gave up his spirit. Alright? Okay. "The Jews therefore, because it was the day of preparation, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water." Blood and water. So what was manifested in physical terms? And you realize that the blood and water would have only come if the spear had pierced an exact spot. Otherwise it would not have happened. For that Roman soldier to pierce that exact spot so that the blood and water would come back was by itself quite a supernatural feat. Alright? But the blood and the water was more than just a natural phenomenon. And the Apostle John, who knew the heart of the Lord, right, catches the picture of the greater expression of the witness, alright? The witness of the blood and the water is a living witness, alright? A living witness that comes to us all of the time. Are you with me? All of the Word of God actually comes alive in this witness that is of the blood and the water. We will talk about that, but we will come to understand that in very powerful terms, okay? This is the reality that is called the word of the cross, alright? This is the reality that is called the word of the cross. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. If you have a New King James Version, you will find that they have translated the word logos into something else. The message of the cross or something to that equivalent, alright? But actually the word there for message is logos, which is word, alright? So the New American Standard gives the translation very well. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God, okay? How does the power of God come to us? Through the witness of the blood and the water. Alright? How does the power of God come alive to us? Through the witness of the blood and the water. Alright? We will talk about this in some depth, but for the moment, right? Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever. I will set aside. You need to catch the picture. How does he do it? Through the witness of the blood and the water, which is entirely supernatural. It is beyond the intelligence of man. It is beyond the intellects of man. It is beyond the understanding of men. It is something that comes into us, right? And by the knowledge forms of the world, it is absolute foolishness. But this witness of the blood and the water comes alive in us in a reality that is described as the word of the cross. Okay? It is a witness. Alright? It is meant to form inside of us the tablets of our heart. Are you with me? It is meant to form inside of us the tablets of our heart. And the purpose is so that the power of God will become an experience to us. Alright? So that the power of God will become an experience to us. Alright? What sort of power? For instance, when you start learning by God, you begin to understand that there is a whole world of learning that is not of the world, it is of God, that God teaches us. Now that is one facet of teaching, one facet of the power of God. When you see yourself being transformed, when your nature being transformed, when you see yourself walking into realities, right, that are beyond the natural realities that we see around us, you begin to understand that this is a reality that is of the power of God. Alright? We will go into this in some depth, but you need to understand that this is a very, very big revelation, alright? Alright? This is a very, very big revelation. And we are trying to capture infinitude with our small words and our small, okay? So we take little parts here, little parts there, and then the Holy Spirit puts it together, alright? You need to understand this will only come alive through the Holy Spirit. This cannot be taught by a human person. Alright? This is all teaching by the Holy Spirit, alright? If this is making sense to you and it will come alive in you, it is the workmanship of God. It is not the workmanship of man, alright? Okay, so let's carry on. But what it does say is that it will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Question is posed. That means it is a question of whether you can walk into that reality, whether you will receive this reality by which the wisdom of the world becomes foolishness to you. Alright? And it's something that God has to reveal to your heart. How does He reveal it to you? Through the witness of the blood and the water. Right? Which is the reality of the cross. All that was accomplished in the cross. Alright? Okay. Actually, it is the reality of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Alright? Okay. Verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Right? To save those who believe. Can you catch that? To save those who believe. The process by which this witness comes inside of you saves you. It transforms you. It changes you. Can you catch it? And it says that the wisdom of the world will never catch this picture. Alright? Okay, let's carry on. The next part of the verse. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. How does the power and wisdom of God come to us? Through Christ crucified. Now how can Christ crucified become the power and wisdom of God? Through the witness of the blood and the water. It is something that God brings into us supernaturally. And we come into an understanding that is beyond the world. Alright? And in that understanding, God saves us. Are you with me? Salvation is a transformation. It is a transfiguration. It is indeed a creative process, right? Catch the picture? It is indeed a creative process. And the witness is laid into us by the water and the blood. Today we want to talk about the blood. The blood really talks about a relationship. The relationship. Blood speaks of a relationship. A covenant relationship. A covenant relationship. Blood is a relationship. God is telling us very clearly, whatever He brings into your life, it must come alive to you in a relationship. That means, without God becoming alive to you, there is no meaning to the revelation. Or rather, without the relationship, the revelation will not remain. It cannot be sustained in its pure form. It will become adulterated. Alright? Why is this so? Because it is the blood that saves us. Alright, let's look at Luke chapter 22, verse 20. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. It's a communion passage, but it makes a big statement here. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Very interesting. The entire new covenant is actually inside the blood. It comes out of a relationship. Are you with me? It is written in the blood. Alright? So, God actually makes a covenant with you through blood. Through the relationship. He personalizes it with you. It's a personal relationship. Right? Jesus Christ needs to be understood as having died for each one of us personally. We receive Jesus as Lord personally. It is not a corporate reality. It is a personal reality. The reality of Jesus being your Lord is a deeply personal reality. Right? Jesus coming alive to you is a deeply personal reality. How He comes to you will be in accordance with your own personality, with your own understanding, with your own knowledge, in your own situations and in your own circumstances. Jesus comes alive in you. Right? And He comes alive in you and He unveils a love that is peculiar to your love, to your life. Right? Because He is saving you. And salvation is intimately fashioned into us. It is not some corporate theological airy-fairy stuff. Alright? It is intimately detailed. It is intimately detailed. It is fashioned into every part of your being. Right? And in that process, Jesus is mediating a covenant. And that covenant is all in the blood. That means it's a witness of the blood. Whenever you find that you belong to God, when you find that you actually have something in God, it's actually a reality that is of the blood. You have received it, you know it. Right? It is of the blood. It is something that has come to belong to you. That is covenant. Anything that you know belongs to you in God is a covenant. The covenant has been opened to you in that area of your life. You can actually walk into it and know God will answer you. You can actually walk into it and expect to see God's hand unfolded in your life. And that is the reality of the witness of the blood. It is written in the blood. And it has come forth in an intimacy that is a real relationship. Alright? What is the end product of this intimacy? That you will come to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Can you catch that? That is the blood. To actually come to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength was what Jesus showed through His blood shed for us on the cross. Because He did it because He loved His Father. And He did it because He loved us in that reality. He fulfilled the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He fulfilled that law, right? How? With His shed blood. In that witness, He saved us, isn't it? Can you catch that? In that witness, He saves us. In that witness, He changes us. In that witness, He transforms us. And unless that witness comes alive to us through the blood, and we understand that through the blood Jesus is saving us, through the blood He is changing us, through the blood He is actually blessing us, right? We will not really understand what God has given us. Are you with me? It has to come alive through the blood. It can only become a covenant in blood. Are you with me? It can only become something that you can take hold of and walk into if it's written in blood. Are you with me? Can you catch the picture? All right? So this is an awesome reality that God has given us. This is an awesome reality that God has given us. And God means to develop this reality in our heart as a living relationship. All right? When you pray, right? The witness of the blood gives you a sense of belonging before God. You know that you belong to Him. You know that you are talking to Him, and you know you have a place before Him. How did that place come? You just know it. How did it come into you? It was brought alive to you through the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? Okay, let's look at something tremendous here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 24. Here we see a reality that the blood of the Lamb speaks. Alright? The blood of the Lamb speaks. Let's read the verse. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 24. Let's read for context from verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. So the blood speaks, and it speaks better than the blood of Abel. Now to catch that picture, we turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis. Chapter 4, verse 9. We all know that Cain killed Abel. Verse 9 says, Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Is crying to me from the ground. And we see that the blood of Jesus speaks in a different reality altogether. All right? The blood of Jesus speaks in a reality that is absolutely far beyond all this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And this is what we must understand as being the supernatural work of the blood. Right? The blood of Christ is shed through the eternal Spirit. That means it is an eternal witness. Alright? It has always been there. Right? So if you read in the Bible that Enoch walked with God, how did he walk with God? Through the witness of the blood. Are you with me? It was always there because it is an eternal reality. Because the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Can you catch that? It is an eternal reality. It is not bound by space and time. Although Jesus Christ died in the dimensions of space and time, and He rose in the dimensions of space and time, He is also God. So the reality of His death and His crucifixion becomes eternal when it's lifted into God. Are you with me? Alright, so it says here that He shed His blood in the eternal Spirit. So how did Enoch walk with God? Very simple, through the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? Right? It has always been there. Alright? It has always been there. So what we see, understand here. What does the blood do to us? Right? It cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It makes us alive to God. We become conscious of God. We become alive to the reason why we live. To serve God, to belong to God, to worship God, to appreciate God, to express our gratitude for what God has done. Right? That cleansing in the blood is very real. It is very, very practical. Whenever you actually find that you want to do something for God, and you really have a hunger, that is the blood speaking in you. That's the blood having created the witness inside of you, the desire to want to do something for God and not for yourself. Alright? That's when you have really come to understand. Right? You have come to actually receive the witness of the blood. Are you with me? Because that sort of an attitude was the attitude Jesus had in his heart. Right? He did everything for his Father. He did everything for us. Right? He fulfilled the Father's will, and he fulfilled the Father's will for us. Alright? So when that witness of the blood comes alive inside of us, it causes us to want to belong to God. It causes us to want to serve God. It causes us to want to do all things for God. It's very, very personal. It is also very, very intimate. And the intimacy is something that is developed over time. So we really need to understand that the blood is something extremely practical and real to us all of the time. Alright? So God builds that witness to us daily. God builds that witness into us daily. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 to understand the power that is behind all this. Alright? Remember, verse 18 talks about the word of the cross, right? And then we talked about Christ crucified. Verse 30 tells us, "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You need to catch this picture. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now all of these processes come alive in us through the blood. We come alive to the witness of what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wisdom is this: God has fully provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The key is to draw what God has already provided for us in Him. That is the key. Are you with me? That's the key. It is not trying to practice a religion to reach up to God. That's not the idea. It is to draw from God what He has already given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus you are made complete. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10. In Christ Jesus you have been made complete. Right? John 1 verse 16. Of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. Verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." When grace and truth are realized through Jesus Christ, what happens? You receive wisdom. What happens? You receive righteousness. The righteousness of God comes alive in you. God did something for you, and you become aware of it. When you become aware of what God has done for you, and you take hold of what God has done for you, that is true faith. Are you with me? That true faith is regarded as righteousness. And the Bible says you and I actually become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. You and I actually become the righteousness of God. How is that possible? How can you and I become the righteousness of God? Because of what He has accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Through the faith of Jesus. Through the faith of Jesus. How did Jesus go to the cross? By faith. By faith in whom? By faith in God. And in that faith, He triumphed. When He committed His spirit to His Father, He was making a faith statement. He was also making an expression of the love that He knew His Father had for Him. Right? And because of that power, because of the perfection of that witness, He was raised from the dead, the Bible says. So, something was done for us. So when we see that God has done something for us, now what are we talking about in this whole time? We're talking about God having done something for us and God actually doing something in us right now, isn't it? Now what God is doing is an expression of His righteousness. Right? When God has accomplished it, you will become and I will become the righteousness of God because He has done something awesome. Because only God is righteous. So out of that righteousness comes sanctification, right? Sanctification, made holy. Who makes you holy? Only God is holy. So how do you come and become holy? Through Jesus Christ coming alive in you. Correct? When you become holy to God, you belong to God. Now what does that belonging represent? It represents the witness of the blood. How do you know your son belongs to you? Through the blood, because of the blood that runs inside of you. You can't explain it. Correct? Or whatever you do, you can't disown your son because the same blood runs inside of him. Correct? So if in the natural that exists, in the spiritual, where it is pure and truthful, and it's the expression of the truth, how great must be the truth? So when the blood speaks within you, there comes forth a sanctification that establishes you before God. You want to belong to Him. You know you belong to Him. Right? That He belonged. Alright? That He was pleasing to God. How do you know you are pleasing to God? You know you belong. That's the reality of sanctification, right? You know, that's what really holiness is all about. I belong to you, Lord. I live for you. Right? When that reality comes alive in you, you are pleasing to God. That's all part of holiness. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you catch that? You are fearfully, wonderfully made. That is a reality of the blood. Right? Amen? So the blood is very real, okay? It is not some airy-fairy theological expression. Right? The blood speaks. And the blood speaks tangibly. The evidence of the blood speaking can be seen, felt, and understood in your life. When the blood purifies you and sanctifies your conscience, it is real. When you put away falsehood, it is the blood that has brought the reality that you don't want that falsehood. That you don't want those habits that used to bind you. Right? Through the blood of the Lamb, there was a transformation and a change in your nature. Correct? It is part of your salvation. We are being saved. And in that being saved, the power of God is being revealed. But not in the way we carnally understand power. God first fashions us. Right? We only think of power as manifesting external miracles. But that is the secondary phase. What God is concerned about is to create the internal parts that belong to Him. Right? Once you belong to Him, you can walk on water with no fear. Correct? Are you with me? You can raise the dead with no fear because you will always use the power of God for righteousness, because you are already sanctified to belong to Him. Are you with me? Because the blood has brought that deep sense of belonging into you. Right? You belong to the Lord your God. You actually love Him. You actually love Him. And that love is real and tangible. It is felt. When you kneel and you pray, when you bow your head, whether you are in the middle of the street or in your prayer closet, the reality of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ is something tangible. Lord, I love you. Right? You are my Lord. Right? You saved me. Right? You went on the cross for me. It is a personal reality. It is not a theological reality. It is a personal reality. You actually saved me. You actually suffered for me. The blood was shed for me. It cleanses me. It has changed me. It has given me a future. It has given me life. Where nobody else could have done anything, you came and you died for me. Right? You shed your blood for me. And that blood, that shedding of that blood is absolutely real to me because the changes that you have brought inside of me are absolutely awesome. Awesome. Right? One day, when that reality becomes a measure of the fullness of Christ, we will actually come to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Amazing. All our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. The blood speaks. It speaks of something awesome. Awesome. And we need to catch that reality, and we need to understand that that reality has to grow in us. Alright? The blood must speak. The blood must speak. And the blood must speak in every situation and circumstance of our life. That's when we are really drawing the bloodline around us. Right? You often see people say, Lord, I draw the bloodline over my life. But actually drawing the bloodline over your life is really taking the witness of the blood and realizing that witness in every aspect of your life. Your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your son. Your ministry, right? Why are you in ministry? For what purpose are you in ministry? What do you preach from the pulpit? Is the blood speaking through what you are speaking? Right? Are you with me? The blood must speak. Because if the blood does not speak, people cannot be helped. People cannot be saved. People cannot be transformed. People cannot be delivered. Because only the witness of the blood can transform the hardness of their hearts. So where does the witness of the blood come from? From within you and from within me. The blood must speak. If we are going to be men of God, servants of a new covenant, the blood must speak. If the blood does not speak, what gospel are we preaching? Because the power of God is Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Why Christ crucified? Because without the crucifixion, there would be no resurrection. You cannot talk about resurrection power without the witness of the blood. Because it is the witness of the blood that brought forth that resurrection power. Correct? So, how do people's lives become transformed and changed through ministry? When the blood of Jesus speaks through us. When that sense of belonging speaks through us. Are you with me? So whenever we preach the gospel, whenever we speak, whenever we pray, the blood must speak. When we worship God, the blood must speak. The blood must speak of that sense of belonging, that sense of the realization of what the Lord has done for you and me. It must be there. It must be there in why we speak what we speak and why we do what we do. Can you catch that? The blood must speak. When the blood speaks, there is power, because that is the power of God. And you have realized that power through the blood of Jesus. And that power is being manifested through you. It is being expressed through you. It is being personalized in you, and it's being expressed in a power that God has given you. Right? This is the power that is called the blood covenant. Are you with me? This is the power that is called blood covenant. And blood covenant is not theology. Blood covenant is witness. The witness that speaks in every word and every thought that you have, in every action that you undertake. Because your actions through to speak of the blood covenant that works within you. Let us see something, alright? Let's see from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. Rather, Isaiah chapter 42. God is talking in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1 of the covenant. Alright, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. Right? I have put my spirit upon him, he will bring forth justice to the nations. That was fully established for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 2 Corinthians, when we talk of becoming servants of the new covenant, this, the reality of this verse, established in Jesus Christ, comes alive in us. How? Through the blood. Because we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood. It is the blood that causes us to become one body. Right? If you take a picture of the human body, what is it that keeps this body functioning as one body? It is the blood that flows inside of it, isn't it? Take away the blood and the body will die. Correct? Now Jesus Christ is a servant being mentioned there. Right? This is he who came by the witness of the water and the blood. This is he who came by the witness of the water and the blood. And the witness of the water and the blood is Jesus Christ. Right? And here God is saying, this is my servant. Right? Right? This is my servant. Behold my servant. See him from the witness of your heart. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. How many times did God say, this is my beloved son? Right? During his baptism on the Mount of Transfiguration. Right? This is my chosen one. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What is God expressing there? He is opening the witness in his heart and saying, this is my beloved son. Catch it? This is my beloved son. Right? In whom I am well pleased. Where is the well pleased coming from? From God's own witness, isn't it? Are you with me? From God's own witness. And that witness is what we must come to realize. So what does the book of John say? Of his fullness we have all received. No Christian can say, I am not good enough to receive. We have all received of his fullness. How? Grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized. through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Are you with me? That realization is a witness, isn't it? Can you catch that? When you realize something in God, it comes alive into you by the witness. That witness is of the blood, the water, and the spirit. But here today we are talking about the blood, alright? We are concentrating on the blood. The blood is the sense of belonging, alright? Here you see the sense of belonging that manifests your ministry, alright? Verse 5, thus says the God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Very awesome, you know, God is laying a framework. He says, I am the Creator God. The whole universe belongs to me. Now against that picture, he then brings out the servanthood. Are you with me? You know, when Abraham came to Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, right? And Melchizedek brings out the bread and the wine. What does he say? God is the possessor of heaven and earth. The Most High God. Abraham belongs to him. Can you catch that? Alright? Now how is that belonging actually established? Through the blood of Jesus, alright? How does Abraham come to belong to God the Father? Very simple, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Alright? And here, we are being, the same picture is being drawn. God describes who He is and He says, I am the Creator God, right? Everything belongs to me. I possess all things, right? And then He then says, who are you in that? I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. How did that righteousness come to you? Through the blood of Jesus, right? I have called you in righteousness. How did that righteousness come to you? Through what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ and made alive inside of your heart by His blood. Can you catch that? I have called you in righteousness. It is the blood that calls. It is the blood that calls us. It is the blood that establishes that calling in our lives. If there is no witness of the blood, then we do not belong to God. Right? I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. Now God is expressing blood covenant. Right? He's expressing a relationship with you. Right? I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. The blood covenant that I write into your hand, the covenant that is written in the blood that is inside of you, you will express it out to the nations of the world. There is no ministry without covenant. Alright? I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. Jesus said, I am the light. Right? And we are given the light of life, right? Remember that? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow of favoritism, right? That light is established inside of us. What light is that? The light of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The light of the knowledge of Him. How do you really know Jesus? Through the blood, brethren. How do you know His heart? Through the blood. Because it is in the shedding of the blood that Jesus opened His heart. That's why when we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, with fervent desire, I have desired. With fervent desire, I have desired to partake of this Passover with you before I suffer. Because I am suffering to make this Passover come alive into your life. That's why I am suffering. So that you can pass over from this world of darkness into my glorious light. And you can live by me. And you can go forth as a light into the nations. If you look at Revelation chapter 21, you will see that the nations walk by the light that shines through the church. Alright? Revelation chapter 21 verses 22 to 24. Are you with me? Okay. To open blind eyes. Now come forth all the miracles, right? The miracles are in twofold. It is in the natural and it is also in the spiritual. To open blind eyes. To bring out prisoners from the dungeon. And those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. Why does God declare His name? Because all this has to come forth by His name. Can you catch that? Now if you go back to 1 John chapter 5 verses 6, 7 and 8. You will find that there is a witness in heaven that is of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And there is a witness on earth that is of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Right? The witness that is of the Father is His name. I am who I am that I am. That witness comes alive in us, it is made alive in us in three streams, the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Can you catch it? So when God proclaims what He is going to do through us, He then proclaims His name. Why? Because everything has to be established in His name. It can only be established when He becomes who He is inside of us. Can you catch it? Otherwise, the ministry will go somewhere else, alright? We will start building altars to our greatness. And we will start worshipping our own deity. That's what Lucifer did. Right? He saw the anointing and he saw how wonderful it was. The other angels also felt his anointing. When Lucifer came into their presence, it was like as if God came in. So they decided to worship him. And Lucifer then started getting all kinds of fancy ideas about his greatness. Until God dismissed him at the speed of lightning, he and one third of his angels. Then he found out his true stature. He was not so big as he thought he was. Right? He was not as big as he thought he was. So we too must learn. How do you learn? You learn by cultivating the witness of the blood inside of you. You always need to monitor whether you belong to the Lord. You always need to see for yourself, am I really growing in Him? Do I really love Him? Why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Why am I speaking this? For what purpose am I in this ministry? For what purpose am I saying all these things? For what purpose am I doing all these things? Right? When you get the purpose right, the blood has come through. The witness of the blood has established the right perspectives inside of you. When you actually want to do something for God, the blood has fulfilled its purpose inside of you. Correct? And we all need to start somewhere. It starts with the small things. If God does not establish the small things into our hearts with the right purpose, how can the big things come forth with the right purpose? Can you catch that? So we need to catch this picture and understand that the blood of the Lamb is life to us. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, I think it is the 17th verse, the 11th or the 14th verse, 17th chapter, the 11th or the 14th verse, God says, I have given you the blood upon the altar as life, alright? The blood is life, brethren, right? Life comes from the blood. Whose life? The life of Jesus. Now, this is the secret of the blood. That not only does it bring a witness into you, it brings the life of Jesus into you. It brings the life of Jesus into you. Let me show you a verse that is very exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 11. The second half of that verse says that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Catch it? That's how Enoch was taken. The life of Jesus is made manifest even unto our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus is made manifest even unto our mortal flesh. Now the reality of that is in blood. The empowering comes by the Spirit, but the reality must be established in the blood. Are you with me? Because the blood has been given to you as life, and the life of Jesus comes to you through the blood. You know what it means to have the life of Jesus? That means you can live like Jesus in His nature, in the power in which He walked. Right? Because Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. Right? John chapter 5 verse 19. I can do nothing of myself. So where did Jesus get all His power from? From His Father. Right? Where do we get all our power from? From Jesus. Right? How do we get all the power from Jesus? Through His blood. Every promise becomes a covenant. when the covenant is written, right, you can make a claim on it, right? Can you catch that? You can make a claim on it, but how does the claim stand? By blood, right? Whose blood? Jesus' blood. How does the covenant claim take place? It is in your witness, right? You either know it or you don't know it, right? How do you know the blood speaks? How do you know a prayer is being answered? You just know, right? You just know. How do you know God has heard you? You just know. How do you know God is present with you? You just know. If you don't know, you don't know. How do you know you are saved? You just know you are saved. Correct? So, where does that witness come from? How do you know you belong to God? How do you know you love God? You know you love God. When you love God, you know the blood has fulfilled a purpose inside of you. Because the blood is an expression of God's love. How do you know you are loved? Because of the blood. When the witness of the blood finds a place in your heart, you will know that God has loved you. You will know that that love is real. You will know you have a future. Because the blood has opened to you a future and you know it. It's there. You don't have to ask any questions. It is there. It is there. It has been opened to you. It has been made alive to you. And you know you belong. That is your destiny. The blood. Amen? So the blood is a witness. But the blood is also life. So the witness is not simply an empty witness. The witness is a living expression of God alive in you. And the witness is of the blood. So the blood establishes that belonging. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, what are we celebrating? The witness of that blood, right? The covenant that is written in that blood. The gift that was given to us on the cross. This is my body which is given for you. Everything that was consecrated in the temple of that body, His Spirit, the water of the Word, and the blood of the Lamb is entirely given to us. Correct? Do you realize that? What was in the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ's body? His Spirit, the Spirit of the anointing, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, and so forth, right? What else was in the body? He shed His blood for us, right? So the blood is a witness of everything that He had inside of His heart. Every intent and purpose and desire in the heart of Jesus Christ came out in the blood. Correct? Because He shed that blood for you. He did not shed it for anybody else. He shed that for me. He shed it for us personally. Correct? What else was there in the blood, in the temple of His being? The waters of life. Right? The word of the living God that was established in Him. The waters of life. The waters that will fill the earth and bring forth life. That is the water. We will talk about that later, but next week. But we shall. You need to understand that. All that is given to us from the temple of His being. It is given to us so that we can take possession of it. Right? Ezekiel 44 verse 28. Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 28. And it shall be with regard to an inheritance for them that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. Where does the name of God come from? Where does a Christian come alive to the name of God? It comes from a cross, brethren. I am. How do you know your God? Where do you see the first and the real picture of God? On the cross. I am. When you look at the cross, you see I am. Right? Expressed in bodily form. But expressed for you and me. I am who I am. I am that I am. The that I am brings your salvation. The who I am lifts you up, right? Can you catch that? That's why when in Genesis 22:14, right, Isaac was going to be sacrificed, right? So when the angel of the Lord stops him, he calls that place Yahweh Jireh. He calls that place. What is that place? The place where Jesus would come and be sacrificed, right? A place that is in the eternal spirit. a place that is beyond space and time, a place that comes to you by the Eternal Spirit. Yahweh Jireh, on the Mount of the Lord it will be provided. On the Mount of the Lord it will be provided. Now that witness inside of you is of the Spirit, the water and the blood. That is Yahweh Jireh. Through that witness God provides for you. Alright, He enables you to understand what He wants you to do. He enables you to understand what are the blessings He wants to bring you. He will let you understand what are the anointings that He is causing to come alive in you. He will enable you to understand what is the purposes that He has for you. He will enable you to understand the personal relationship that He has with you. All that is Yahweh Jireh. It is His provision. I am who I am. I am your provider. How does that provision come to you? Through the witness, brethren. The witness of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. Can you catch that? Through it, every promise in God is realized. But how is every promise written? Through the blood, alright? Catch it? In the blood it is written. It becomes your possession, your inheritance through the blood. Amen? So when Jesus says, remember me, He's saying something awesome. I am is the memorial name of God. Remember me is the calling forth of that prophetic reality of the memorial name. Catch it? And we are celebrating that memorial name in this celebration of Holy Communion. Correct? It's a very important celebration because it is a prophetic expression. It is a prophetic expression to be fulfilled. Let's look at Luke 22. Before we end this day, let's look at Luke chapter 22. And when the hour had come, He reclined and the apostles with Him. Do you realize that if you leave out the inserts that the translators have put in there, that the apostles reclined with Him is a place God opens to us. And that place is open to us today by the Holy Spirit. It is an eternal reality. It's an eternal reality. Alright? It's an eternal reality. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus Christ opens His witness. In that witness comes the expression of the water, the blood and the Spirit. Because they are all of Him, okay? They are all of Him. Where does the Spirit come from? It is the Spirit of Christ. It is His anointing. Where does the blood come from? It comes from Him. Where does the water come from? It comes from Him. Are you with me? It is made alive to you. Right? Look at the well, right? The woman here, what? The Samaritan woman, Jesus says, I give you living water. Right? The woman said, you have nothing to take water from. How can you ask, where are you going to get this living water from? And He said, I have this living water for you, right? That when you hear My voice, it will become wells of living water inside of you. Catch it? Supernatural wells built, drawing from the voice of the Lord. Can you catch that? Okay, we will do that next week. But today, Jesus is saying, in this Passover, I have earnestly desired, what is He opening here? He's opening His witness, right? Can you catch it? With fervent desire I have desired. Now, where does that kind of desire come from, right? That is His all witness, everything that is within me. And He says, I am opening this in this Passover, which I am celebrating with you. Can you catch the picture? And it becomes a lifestyle. You can live in this witness all the time. That's why it is called the memorial name. Because the memorial name is a living memorial opened inside of you and me and amongst us that grows and grows and grows to all generations, God declared to Moses. And in that expression comes forth a new creation, isn't it? A new way of life, entirely by God. Can you catch that? And Jesus is saying it will all come because of the price I have paid. He is the Word. Everything that was created through Him. He is the Word and He is speaking it forth. Amen? So what does verse 16 say? For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Within you and me, isn't it? Luke 17, verse 21 and 22. Somewhere there it says, if you're reading the New King James or the Old King James Version, it says that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Can you catch this? So what is within you? The witness. How does the kingdom of God open to you? By that witness. Can you catch that? Powerful, isn't it? And by that witness you can rise into the mount of the Lord where it will be provided for you. We will carry on laying this word forth and you will begin to see how wonderfully God has created you and me. Okay. Alright? You remember in John chapter 3 verse 3, Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God, correct? You cannot see the kingdom of God. We can see the kingdom of God. Where do we see the kingdom of God? From the witness that is inside of us, isn't it? And then in verse 5 he says, unless you are born of the Spirit and of the water, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Catch it? Enter the kingdom of God. When you move by the Holy Spirit, you enter into the kingdom of God. And you function in the kingdom of God. You function in the realities of the kingdom of God. You function in the anointings of the kingdom of God. You function by the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is what establishes the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, I will only partake of this in the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God is open to you, I will partake of this with you. Many people think this is something, a historical event in the future. It's more than that. It's an eternal reality. Enoch walked with God and he was not. The Passover was open to him. How? Even in his body it was open to him. Correct? Correct. Even in his physical body, the Passover was realized and he was taken. Right? So this prophetic reality is what the prophetic word is all about. Can you imagine a bride being lifted from the four corners of the earth? And that time is upon us. Amen. Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Alright, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Right? The remembrance is always there, brethren. You celebrate Holy Communion as a total lifestyle. Okay. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The entire covenant is in my blood. And we are celebrating it today because he is our inheritance and our possession. We read that in Ezekiel 44 verse 28. Amen. Shall we just pray? Father, it is so awesome what you have given to us, Father. It is so incredibly awesome how much you have given to us by your Son. And we need to understand that what you have given us, Father, comes to us through a witness. And today, Father, we have spoken of the witness of the blood. And without the witness of the blood, there is no purpose in any other witness, Father. Because it is the blood that establishes us before you. It is the blood that establishes the deep sense of belonging, that intimacy that we all need, Father. That intimacy that you have said is the fulfillment of the law, that we will come to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind and strength. Father, we are looking forward to that fulfillment in this Passover celebration, Father. It will be fulfilled, and we know it will be fulfilled because you have said so, Father. Because Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, and we are celebrating that reality in each one of our lives and in the lives of our brethren across the church all over the world, Father. Not only the church that is on earth, Father, but the church that is in the heavenly places, the communion of the saints, Father. And we are celebrating this prophetic witness that will be fulfilled, O God, in the church that is everywhere, Father. Because we are the body of Christ. And of His fullness we have all received, Father, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so, Father God, we speak forth, O God, the realization, O God, of that witness that will bring forth the fulfillment of Your prophetic word when a bride is raised from the earth, Father. The bride for the Lamb, Father. And we are looking forward to the fulfillment of that time which is upon us, O Lord. And so, Father, we ask You to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in Your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake of Him in His flesh and in His blood, we are receiving of all that He consecrated for us in the temple of His body. We are receiving of His fullness, Father. And we ask You, O God, to transform and change us, to remove from us, O God, the weaknesses of our own sinfulness and our foolishness, Father. And to bring alive into us a witness that charges us, O God, by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. A witness that proclaims that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. A witness that realizes that reality and walks into it by Your Spirit in Jesus' name. And so, Father, as we celebrate this Holy Communion, we give You the glory, the honor, the worship, and the praise. As we see the greatness of Your purposes unfolding in our hearts and in our lives. Not just personally, Father, but in the entire body of Christ, Father. Across our denominations, Father. One body being raised in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. One body being ministered to by the living Word, born forth as a witness by the Holy Spirit. And so we bless You and thank You that as we celebrate, we are celebrating with our brethren, O God. And we are declaring, O God, that Your will be done, Father. And we bless You and we thank You that it will be done. Because Your will be done, we shall live forever and we shall be blessed forever. And we bless You for that reality that You have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Father, we bless You and thank You for the bread of life, Father. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And He gave of Himself, O Lord, as the living bread. And that living bread, O God, is the hidden manna of Your name that feeds us and enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, O Lord. Release Your living word and Your testimonies into us that we may live by the Lord Jesus Christ in all that He has given us. As Your word comes alive in us, let the understanding that will take hold of that word be released into our spirits, O God, into our hearts and into our minds, so that we will indeed be partakers of His divine nature, Father. We pray this, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We celebrate the blood of the covenant, Father. And this is the drink offering that the Lord Jesus poured out for us, Father. He poured Himself out entirely for us, Father. And as we receive the witness of all that He poured out, Father, we know, Father, that we will be transformed and changed by all that He has expressed for us. Let the blood speak, Father, in our past, our present, and our future. Let the blood continuously speak, Father. In our circumstances and in our situations, let the blood speak, Father. And let the saving grace that You have manifested through the witness of the blood manifest into us and over us so that we will live in the redeeming grace, O Lord, of Your presence. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, even as we have celebrated Holy Communion, we have celebrated Your living word, the bread of life that You have given us in the name of Jesus. We pray that everything that You have manifested into our hearts, we pray that it will find expression in our lives, in all that we do in word and in deed. Release, O God, that witness into us. Nurture that witness within us, Holy Spirit. And bring it forth, O God, in living worship before the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.